And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 229. I'm Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle.
Probably.
Probably, yeah. So today, an exciting episode again. Yeah. We are all getting, we have 229 now exciting episodes for you. Because we have self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And good lighting.
And what was that?
And good lighting.
Good lighting. Yeah. Check out our lighting today. I'll talk about my self-consciousness. Well, right. Is that the right word? Self-consciousness?
Sure.
Self.
Yeah, I think, it was.
I am self-conscious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk a little bit about Kendrick Lamar and the Super Bowl halftime show.
Right.
We will talk about the four questions.
Mm-hmm.
A new
to help you manage some of those
manage stress
you might get. Yeah,
when you're stressed out about rap beefs going to the Super Bowl, you can run through the four questions to see if it should.
That's right. When you're stressed out that you might not be able to use the internet to understand the truth of those what might have happened in those beefs, or be overcharged for a hot dog, or undercharged, you know. Four questions.
We have some good talk. You know, I will admit.
Kleenex.
And Kleenex. We have a health and hygiene section to this thing. And while I will admit, it may seem like we start veering off a cliff of where's this going, it wraps all back together.
It sure does.
Because that's what we do best.
Mm-hmm.
Callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Callbacks wrapping around everything. Anyways, I think you have time for this episode. You'll get that later. So enjoy us. Remember to like us, subscribe, share the podcast, and tell everyone we are your best friend. But right now we want you to both to sit back, relax, open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to Black and a Half, episode number 229. Okay, the lines here.
Yeah.
They show up a lot. They showed up a lot when I'm looking at them and I'm realizing, oh, this is why people get tucks. Because if I pull it back, like, oh, well, less of a line.
It's hard not to be super critical of your face. Huh? It's hard not to be like super critical of your face when you're seeing it on the big screen and your face.
Yeah.
Is 5 million
when you have to edit it.
Bigger than you ever would have imagined. Now I'm checking my face because I'm sure my lips.
No, you're fine. I'm old. I'm elderly now.
You're elderly.
I just need to walk around like this.
You know, can I just say how refreshing it is for a man to still accept that you're aging?
Well, look, if it wasn't for acting, I wouldn't probably. If I wasn't getting, hey, here's a fat guy role, you know, it makes me really look at what do I look like now? Like, what age would I fit in?
To not like get in your head about some of that stuff. Like, yeah, I remember, and I think this maybe happens to a lot of people when you look back at your old pictures and you're like, oh my gosh, look at how cute I was or how fit I was or this or that.
Oh God,
and yeah. I think part of it is because you're comparing yourself then to your present self, not to all of your peers. Like it's a different comparison, you know, and you're appreciating. Yeah. Like, cause I remember specifically, it was this one premiere of a short independent film. And I remember I felt so unattractive and not fit and just like so surprised that somebody was talking to me instead of the lead, who I was the best friend. I was like a supporting, sassy, fun friend anyway. And I just was like, what? And then funny, because like looking back, I'm like, oh, I looked so great. And oh my goodness, look at how petite I was. And I just had no concept of any of it, you know? Yeah. And I think that's why they say youth is wasted on the young.
Oh God. Yeah. No, I look at some old pictures. I was like, oh my God, why was I so down on myself then? I was a sweet piece.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How did I not recognize that?
Society, probably. And just, I don't know. Maybe it's good, though, that people aren't too drunk with their
power. Oh, definitely.
You see how terrible it is when people are drunk with the power they shouldn't even have in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I could do the face you did earlier. That's what I would
what,
do.
This one? When I pull my...
No, the one where it was like, that's what the podcast is about. The like,
oh, yeah.
I can't do the face. Oh,
or I'm like, oh, this is why you do makeup. Now I remember why I should be doing makeup.
Well, you can do makeup if
I'm in a lit studio.
The thing is, I didn't even notice it until you pointed it out so much that now I kind of notice it, but it's much more noticeable to you because you're the one.
Oh, yeah. Like, in my hairline. Everything yeah. I notice.
I don't dare pull my face because I've been blowing my nose so much because I'm still sick that like it just like your face and it hurts so much that I don't actually have Kleenex. I just use toilet paper because why make an extra purchase? You know, toilet paper works to blow my nose. But now after blowing my nose so much, I'm like, oh, I wish I had like the aloe infused super soft like Angel Kisses Kleenex on my face. Not sponsored, but.
Right. Okay. They make Kleenex different than toilet paper.
Well, yeah.
So it's not made to put into your face. So there's allergens on it.
Oh.
That wouldn't go where it normally is, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought, I mean, I know it's not made the same because it doesn't feel as soft.
Well, it's kind of like how Kleenex is not supposed to go in the toilet. It's not made for it.
I didn't know that either.
But yeah, toilet paper is made.
Kleenex. So.
Right. No. I used to be on that school. I did. I definitely am like, why would I buy it? But if you notice when you pull a piece of toilet paper off and shake it and watch the dust.
I got it right here.
So then watch the dust that comes off of it.
We've got some. Right. We've got some Costco wonderful toilet paper.
Now, it's a
Kleenex. I've got toilet paper, not Kleenex. I don't know what I'm hearing.
No, that's what I'm saying. Toilet paper. If you shake it, you're going to see dust. You don't see dust coming off of it?
I don't. Let's try again.
You need more light. Some fresh.
Oh, yeah. I do see it.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah. But if you pull a Kleenex, nothing comes out. Like, yeah, but, it's trying to stop.
But did you tear it? Did you tear it in half? Because the thing is, like the toilet paper, you're getting the perforation line versus the Kleenex. You're not perforating it. It's already in pieces.
True. But I would argue that you sometimes perforate it in your nose. Look, I'm a wild nose blower.
My nose is delicate. You know,
things are flying everywhere. I've just noticed. I noticed my allergens. My allergens slowed down when I started switching to just using Kleenex on my nose. It didn't get as irritated.
Interesting.
People know me. I'm very active with my nose. So they get, I get it. So I have switched. I really did hate the first time I started buying just Kleenex.
I mean, I don't think about it until I need it. And then I'm not going to want to make an extra trip.
Right. That's why I do I guess I haven't in a while, but now I just went to Costco.
I would.
Now as I'm going to Costco, I'm like, oh, we need Kleenex. Let me go buy some.
Yeah.
And I'll have that now for a year.
Yeah. I completely agree. That would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially if you have like a family. Aren't your family?
Well,
or the extra space.
You just need to go with somebody. Like, you just need to go with me to Costco.
So I love going to Costco.
So you can get a year supply of things.
I mean, I will get Costco toilet paper, but
yeah,
you know, there are certain things at Costco I love getting. But yeah, for Kleenex, I just don't really feel like I want to give the extra space to Kleenex with how rarely I use it.
You don't have allergies. I have allergies. So that's not like,
I'm going to use Kleenex maybe like two boxes for the year or something. I don't know. Just not for real. Each. I don't use it for, I mean, that's a big difference too. Where I'm like,
that's amazing.
Toilet paper whenever I need it. But
That is amazing to me. That's how the normals live.
I don't know. Like, do you on a regular weekly basis when you're not sick, how often do you use Kleenex? The episode? We should make some black and half kerchiefs. Handkerchiefs, right?
Handkerchiefs are so disgusting. They're like
the diapies.
So disgusting. The handkerchiefs?
You'd have to have like 100. Because you have to, I wouldn't want to blow my nose in it more than once.
That's what I don't understand. People keep putting them back in and like using it. I'm like, what the heck? I don't understand it. No, disposable. I don't think I've ever gone a week without using a Kleenex.
Whoa.
Like not a box, but at least one. At some point my nose, I'm irritated by something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that makes sense for sure. Like
it's like though lately, I'm battling my constant congestion with Boom Boom sticks. Have you heard of these?
No.
They were on Shark Tank. And I saw a little ad like on my Facebook reels, right? And so I saw them. Then I looked for them on Amazon and I bought them. They're like little, you know, like Vicks vapor that you're supposed to put on your chest and the menthol comes up. These are just little sticks. Uh-huh. They come in like mint and tropical and different flavors. You just put them to your nose and take a breath and it just clears your sinuses.
Wow. Like,
whoa, to different degrees.
Interesting.
Sometimes I have to do it a few times before I'm.
Do you have
right, but I love them. Boom, the boom, sticks.
Personal steamers that you put your nose in and all the steam and hot air goes.
Like, wait, what?
It's funny you should mention it because I had an idea that I was like, I should have it here in case if I need to show you what I'm talking.
Wait, you just put your face in it?
Yeah, like kind of. Let me step away for 2 seconds to get it.
You're gonna get the Vicks.
Yeah, because I just was using.
Vicks vapor, a personal.
I was using.
Is it like a bidet for your face?
I've had this thing for a few years, but I like to keep it in its box when it's not used.
Steam inhaler.
Yeah, and I've never actually used it with the Vicks or anything. I just use the water, and then you just steam your face.
Is it like a mask?
Yeah. Yeah. So
like, does it detach and you put it on your face?
You have to have it plugged in and it boils up the water. And so you'll put your nose over it and it'll just make like steam go here. It gets pretty hot.
Oh.
And you like over it and then it'll just help clear things up. Cause you know how it's like,
oh, cause sometimes, yeah, we'll take a shower.
Exactly.
Or so put the kids so in a shower.
Like helping in the shower. I think this might be too hard for kids because of how hot it. Well, your kids are.
Little. Does it get really that hot?
It can get quite hot. So like you just need to be careful. But like I was using this last night for like the I don't know about like 15 minutes, and I used to use it a lot more.
Okay, I'm checking Amazon.
Yeah, this thing is like several years old.
Wait, so it's called a Vicks what?
It's called a steam inhaler, personal steam therapy.
Steam inhaler. Let's see what they got them like. Oh, $42.
But
for sinus relief, it might be worth it.
I
need to order some mud masks anyway.
Ooh,
trying to get my pores clean. Mm. This is a health and fitness episode.
I know,
of,
right?
Black Kleenex, and a half.
Kleenex and Costco.
And. You know, wow, Samantha,
Silas,
how?
I'm glad I wore sweatpants because here I am just getting up and down willy nilly, not even paying attention to if my bottoms are on screen. Like I'm
your
glad
bottoms,
my bottoms, my pants. Like I was actually wearing like sweatpants and not like pajama pants or something right now. Like as I'm hopping on. And
oh, you're fine. Yeah. Look, as much as I love health and fitness, look, I got to talk to somebody out loud about Kendrick.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, talk to me.
Are you a fan overall of his to begin with?
This will be further incriminating for the removal of the black card that can never be revoked anymore.
Hey,
but I saw certain things that people were saying on Facebook. And I was just like, I could see why people would be upset by this, because people were saying, I don't know if you were one of them, but they were like, if you didn't like the show, then you're old or you're racist. If you said you couldn't hear him, then you're racist because you could understand Pearl Jam or this, that, or the other thing. And I was like, I'm not offended because I know I'm not racist. I could not understand him. I could understand some of it, but I haven't listened to enough Kendrick before to like hear. But yeah. I could understand by watching it that it was powerful. Some of the stuff I understood, some of it I didn't. So just to say that he wasn't really on my radar before.
You hadn't listened to him really before.
Not really. Okay. But then there were like one or two songs where I was like, oh, I've heard that, but I didn't really know.
I will say I have a hard time with music in general the first time I hear it, of absorbing almost anything, unless it's like a slow ballad. Like I have to listen to, for me with a hip hop song or a rap song, I have to like how it feels so that I'll re-listen to it to really listen to the words. Because yeah. I won't catch them the first time through. It's how I feel about musicals in general. Like I watch a musical and I'm like, I don't know what they just said, but I know how I felt.
Sometimes they make them, sometimes like the music, like the accompaniment too, is like so loud that it's like hard to hear the words.
Yeah. I just can't take it in. I can't process it that well. So once I know the lyrics, I'm in there.
Yeah.
What my wife does not know Kendrick Lamar at all. Like she's heard the name, but she didn't had never heard his songs before, except for Not Like Us, because I played it for her several times
in
the past, like, talking about the beef. But she was watching it and she's like, look, I didn't catch a bunch of what he said, but she did not understand how anyone could call it boring, because she's like, so much is happening.
100%. Like, even if you didn't understand what was being said visually, so much was going on. Like the imagery was amazing. And also, like, clearly there was a huge amount of talent. So I think that's where, when I was like here reading some of these comments on, I'm like, okay, it's not aimed at me, but I couldn't help being a little bit offended of like, if you didn't understand this, you're old or you're racist. And I'm like, well, oh my God, I'm old. You know, but
I think there is an element to where situational, when you're expecting to need to read into things and when you're not expecting, like if you were watching it as in this was in the middle of a play or a musical, you would have been watching automatically, subconsciously, for symbolism.
You know,
but we are not used to watching Super Bowl halftime shows for symbolism.
You know, also too, I think I was thinking when they said understand, that I was thinking they meant I need to understand every single word and what is being said. And I couldn't hear everything. Like it was very quick. And like with the music, like the, how loud the music was, how loud his voice was and how quickly it was all happening and visually
the mixing.
Like, I couldn't actually hear every single word, but I did understand quite a lot of what was happening. But then there's also stuff too, where I don't know the beef. I don't know the feud between him and Drake. I don't know. I never watched Squid Games. Like there were all these other references that I just didn't know because I wasn't involved in that part of pop culture or whatever was going on. However, yes, I could still see certain symbolism. I am aware of certain stories I know and histories I know. Like there were certain things that I was very aware of. And even if I wasn't aware of any of it, it seems like, it seems to me outrageous that somebody could be looking at it and just be like, what a load of crap. It's like, really? You can't see that something clearly is going on?
Because also, like, I think about how when I watch a play, I'll see something and I'll be like, oh, that's cool. I think that means something else. And I'll look it up later and go, what was that about? Like, oh, and now I get it. And I have a better appreciation for it. But some people just watch this and go, well, I'm not going to use the supercomputer at my hands to look up what this is about and see what I missed.
Exactly.
God forbid I forget, you know, I'm not spoon fed.
Right. Art.
So, the performances are usually kind of goofy. So I think they just were not, no one was expecting to turn on a brain, particularly football fans, but no, just kidding. Fans out there. I'm a soccer guy anyway, but I just think out of context, I think people were not ready to listen or prepared to see more than what was there. I enjoy just seeing people dance regardless of what was said. So like, I just like dance. I've been to dance concerts and I don't, whatever. It's supposed to give you a feel. You're supposed to get a feeling off of a visual.
I know. I'm just having so many feelings right now.
About
discussing all these things.
About Kendrick?
I don't know.
And I guess
like if anybody can just watch it and not have any feelings and no association to any of it, I'm like, what a point of privilege, and not even privilege. It's almost, it's sad. It's sad that they have such a lack of understanding that there's not one single thing they could have found in it to be meaningful. Like one single thing. Like,
I am more upset that how many people were not curious. It's one thing to not get it, but to not be curious about, well, what did that mean?
Right.
I want to know more.
But one thing I can understand is how off-putting it would be for somebody to not get it and then look online and see them being ripped a new one, because it's like, if you didn't get this, you're racist or you're old for them. Because like for me, I have a very growth mindset and I know that I'm not that. But if I were like, I'm not defending middle-aged white men right now, but I'm saying if I were like a middle-aged white guy, I could see that would be very like, ugh, fine, doubling down on being a jerk. But I'm not trying to give them an easy out here. I'm just saying that I was also observing my reaction to seeing what somebody wrote and noticing how it made me feel. And I'm not clearly who they were talking about.
So here's my thing, though. I have accepted for many years, because of where I live and where I grew up, being this country, that I am racist and misogynist to some degree. It's been put in me. And everyone in this country is. And it's breaking those different layers. It's how much it's realizing how much is there, or that just even that instinct that popped into you once to go, and you go, whoa, what was that? That's not. Why even self-deprecation to think like I'm not good enough, or the default. What gets me is the defaults, when the idea that we automatically will imagine whether it's a man or a white person because we got trained to do that. And that even if I have a joy in my heart when I turn on a video game to create my own character and they purposely default the character to somebody with brown skin, I go, ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think anything of it, because I'm like, oh, that's normal. This is totally normal. It's a white guy. Start with the white guy. Right?
That is
racism. That it's always the default character is the white guy, right? Yeah. So we have been inundated from birth to racism. Me and you are both light skinned, so we have benefited from it to a degree. So once I accepted the ingrained racism, the ingrained misogyny that's there, it allows me to not be offended when something comes up. And I ask questions. Like, I remember once in comedy, I asked why. I was like, I said something to a guy, another comic, because he introduced the female comic as, he goes, the next comic, oh my God, she's so beautiful. You're going to, you know, oh, I just really love this woman. She's really wonderful. And calls her up. And he came in back and was like, dude, why are you introducing someone as beautiful? It's honestly offensive. Like, they don't. He's like, but she is. I'm like, yeah, but.
It's not a
female comics don't want to be focused on that. And then when I was like, yeah, I don't say, I think you should apologize. And then somewhere in there, I ended up the bad guy. He got mad at me. And then she seemed annoyed that it got, even though she rolled her eyes when he said it. Right. But then it was explained to me that people said what you should have said was how it bothered you, instead of putting it on how it offend, it's offensive to her, that I made it, in some ways, I made it a little about me rather than just bringing up the, that I don't like it when people do that because it posts on beauty and stuff. And like, I should have put it, I was just trying to school. I was a little surprised by it. So I think that's why I took it. But I'm always open to learning when I've accidentally been misogynist.
Yeah. I mean, because that's also, I mean, like that whole knowledge is power. Now you're aware of certain things and you can kind of, it's like, you can kind of see the matrix. You could see where it's like at play and where you're kind of switching things up. Okay. Half form thought, because yeah. What really the thought, like I can't help going away from, was when you were talking about why people weren't curious about Kendrick, like why they didn't go on the supercomputer. I know you were talking about like with racism or this or that or misogyny, you can get curious, you can ask questions, but that like sort of feeling of dread of like, yeah, that's why it's so important that we actually have access to correct information on our computers, because of when you're curious and you're looking things up, like part of me almost wonders, actually, okay, who is it? I don't know if this is a mutual friend of ours or not, but yes, it is. I believe so. I believe it is. But I saw like another comedian like who wrote, you guys, like if they mess with the internet or something like that, stop like stressing out, go to the library. We know where the truth is. And then that just started a whole a whole other train of thought where I'm like, gosh, do we need to like get time capsules for books and lock them up? Probably.
Seriously.
Like, it's no. Like, oh, the things we could do with more resources to do them.
Though we can't also forget that just because it's a book doesn't mean it's true.
Right? Exactly. So we have to be
careful with that. Right. What I meant by not even, I guess, it's a piece of art, obviously, by the performance. To me, that's obvious. It's a piece of art. What does that mean? Why you wouldn't be curious about a line from Aerosmith? Or just like if you're watching a movie and go like, huh, I didn't get much out of that. I don't know why everybody's into it so much. I will look things up that people liked that I didn't to try to figure out why.
Yeah.
What did I miss on this? I want to know why. And sometimes I go, oh, well, everyone else is just dumb. That's why. But sometimes I go, oh, I get it now. It's still not my thing.
Yeah.
Or I've also grown to like, now I appreciate that. And what Not Like Us, I had listened to Kendrick before and I enjoyed him. I hadn't researched much on him. But when Not Like Us came out and I started watching video, because I didn't get all the references, I knew like, this is bad. This is a bad, oh, like, this is an indictment on somebody. I need to know what's going on. Uh-huh. And I started looking up things about this, like watching reaction videos and different people noticing different things about it and talking about, like, for instance, multiple levels. It made me realize how much of a genius this guy is. Because it's one thing when something has a double meaning, but right. When they start having triple meanings,
right.
You're like, what? So like during the performance, he was wearing a lowercase a,
yeah. Right? Uh-huh.
Which can be the A minor.
Right.
Right. Which is in the song. But Drake's real name is Aubrey.
Interesting.
So it's also an A could stand for Aubrey as well. That he's wearing a chain with his name on it, with his the letter of his name on, right?
Well, was A minor because he was calling him a pedo.
Too, yeah, right. But then also there was something about it. The note that some song that Kendrick sang uh-huh. at him was in the key of A minor.
Cool.
Like he just there was like he took one and just like how many levels can you add on to this?
Right.
And I just think that's throughout the song, just finding out new things about it. Granted, some of them could be accidents that later on you find out and go, oh, yeah, that does work. Because I know as a director, that would happen to me right. Where people would say, oh, I see how you connected those things. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, maybe totally. You're subconscious in it.
And that's possible. That's what right. I tell myself when I'm trying not to be a fraud. But I just that's what I was just so impressed with, the level of artistry that it has. And the more I look into them, the more amazed I am by that. And it makes me want to hear more and hear listen. Because other people get insights on music that I just don't get. I'm not.
And part of it too is like, it's the way it's explained in a way that hooks you too. Do you know what I mean? Like, somebody did actually tell me a couple of years ago, like, Kendrick's so great, he's probably the best rapper ever, blah, this and that. But they didn't explain it enough to the point that it actually got my interest to be like, oh, I need to listen to this person. You know?
Yeah. I've heard a breakdown of why Eminem is so good and people talking about the lyrical switcheroos he does. And how you're like, well, that's not even a rhyme, but somehow the way he did it right then made it rhyme. And not everyone can hear that enough to do it into a song. Like, it's how impressive that is.
Right.
And I love to hear people break things down. Did you, there's this, what is it? It's this Netflix show called, Sound something. I'm gonna look it up. It's Soundscape or something. I'll look it up. It takes like four different songs and looks at how were these created, how are these songs. Lin-Manuel Miranda's in it.
Oh, cool.
That's
enough to get me hooked.
Song Exploder. It's Song called
Exploder
on Netflix. Yeah, there's.
Let me write this down to watch it later.
Theoretically, two seasons of it. They're only like 20 minutes each, or there's two volumes. But the Alicia Keys one, the Lin-Manuel Miranda, Wait for It, Losing My Religion. So you find out how these songs were built and made. When I listened to Lin-Manuel break down and give the story of how he wrote that song.
Yeah.
Like, what? My mind does not even conceive of working that way.
Right.
And it makes you go like, oh, yeah, no, I can't write a musical. Well, I can't write that level of a musical because that is so far beyond what could happen to me.
I'm excited to watch this now.
Yeah, like,
okay, now that we're talking about what we're watching, I think like a couple episodes again, I was like, oh, I'm watching the Mindy Project. I feel like I'm a combination of Mindy and Daniel Castellano. Well, I said that in the beginning of rewatching it, and I was like, oh no, I need to strike that from the records. Any of our million fans I would say there are very specific ways in which I feel like I'm like both of them, and very specific ways in which I am not. Let me leave it at that. I finished watching it. That was sad that I finished it because I was enjoying it so much. So anyway, I'm excited to have another recommendation now.
What is it about her that you said I'm striking that? Is she like promiscuous?
Very.
In the show.
Well, I don't know. How would you define very? How would you define a very promiscuous person?
Someone who has sex more than me.
Isn't that a lot of people?
What? Hey. What?
No, I mean, I'm just saying that I feel like people who are like in happy long-term relationships aren't and have children.
That's how I've always defined it. Anyone who has sex more than me is promiscuous.
That's hilarious. Okay. I guess I would, I don't know if I would say that she was very, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say yes, and then I'm like, oh, that might seem judgy. I think.
But is that why? But is that why you want it stricken from the record?
That was one of them, and I like that immediately. You knew that that's what it was. That was one of them, and then sometimes she just can be really selfish and self-absorbed. But she's also delightful and a fun dresser, and good at her job, and like, you know. At any rate, I was the other seasons had like 22 episodes or something, and it's leaving Netflix on the 28th. So I was like, oh, I better hurry up and finish watching these. And since I was sick, it's not like it was a big issue.
You know, they lie about that sometimes.
Well, they suckered me in because I was like, I got to get.
Yeah.
And I finished the season when I thought there was another like 18 or 12 episodes left because all the other seasons had so many episodes and then it abruptly ended at episode, I don't know if it was six or something. And I was so I was know. Like, what? I would have watched this at a better time.
So I've seen things where it said leaving on the 28th, right? And so I'm like, I got to watch this this weekend. I got to do it. And then the 28th passed. And then I see it change to leaving soon.
Those jerks.
What? You son of a bitch.
They're trying to
squeeze out the last views of it. It did eventually go, but just I don't know why it delayed, but I found that kind of funny that they seem to be messing with me in particular.
Mm. Well, I'll have to keep an eye on it and see if after February, if it's still there.
If you haven't caught it. Wait, so you finished?
Oh, I finished it, but I want to see if I notice that it was false and then I can bring it back to the show. For a third time, just kidding.
See if they're liars. Okay, and one other thing I wanted to. You had these four questions that you asked. Mm-hmm. What? Okay, so what's the deal with this? What did you? Were you like?
Where did I find this?
Yeah, like what made this come to mind? The four questions.
Oh, I was actually listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
And they were one of the things they were talking about. I don't remember. Okay. But they were talking about lots of very interesting things. And one of the things they were talking about, they brought up the four questions. And this was presented from Byron Katie in The Work, I think on Medium. So the four questions are, is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react? And what happens when you believe that thought? And who would you be without that thought? And the reason why I think this is so powerful right now, especially, and why I thought it would be a good topic, is when we get thrown back into our fear brain, I think it can be very helpful to help us relax, help us have, you know, self-care, mindfulness, not be trapped by anxiety or not, you know, go into an anxious cycle. Because there's
what is this in reaction to? But what is this in reaction to? Is this about, I don't understand the topic of
the four questions
that you ask when what? When something happens?
I think you can, listen, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly what the article said. This is, or the podcast now. This is what I'm taking from it, okay?
Okay.
So what I'm taking from it is if I'm having a difficult emotion or I'm having a belief that isn't necessarily true, like if you're feeling good and things are going well, you're not really going to want to stop and ask yourself the four questions, unless if maybe you're manic or it's like not like a healthy good, right? But if I'm looking at, democracy is ending tomorrow.
Okay, I see you.
I don't want to, or if I'm feeling like unsafe from things outside of my control. Or, you know, even, I think even like at a job interview or, you know, something that you're worried about. I think for me, it's especially helpful with something I'm worried about.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. Like, is...
So this is,
are we going to apply it back to Kendrick Lamar's episode?
Four questions for Penny and anybody with stressful thought is the full book title. Thought. Published in 2016.
This one is The Work. The four questions from The Work. Is it the same four questions?
Well, this is Byron Katie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a book.
I just didn't hear that part. Yes, correct. So that makes sense. Yeah, for stressful thoughts. And I think it does help get us out of that fear brain. Because, I mean, when you're in your fear brain, it's really hard to be rational. Totally. Right? It doesn't really help you. If you're...
No, fear never helps.
Well, it does.
Okay. Survival. But it doesn't help you...
It doesn't help if you're stuck in it and you can't take any action. It
doesn't help you grow or learn. You cannot learn. You cannot be creative in a fearful environment. Right. You cannot learn in a fearful environment.
No, you can't.
It's one of the biggest, it's one of the things as a coach or as a, and a teacher of coaches that I'm trying to push is this idea of eliminating fear,
right,
from your practice in so in all the ways. And then in how do you love from fear with fear? I don't think you can open yourself to love.
Well, I think it has to be a yes and thing, right? It's, I know it takes it back to improv again too, but
it should always, it, everything goes back, right? To improv,
yeah.
And soccer, mm-hmm. is life.
Well, and that's too,
should be our life.
How can you learn or be creative in fear? How can you have your best ideas in fear? No. And that's another reason why it's so helpful in these corporate settings to have improv there to generate ideas.
Yeah.
The stakes are so low and blah, blah, blah. But I think if you can have like compassion for your fear, like you can't live in the fear zone, but you, in terms of love, it's like, it's scary. Yes, it's scary. And you're still choosing to take the risk. Right.
It's, you know, it's fascinating. This book is it's a retelling,
uh-huh.
of the Sky is Falling story.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So that's where.
Chicken Little.
Yeah. It brings her method of self-inquiry known as The Work to children with the help of award-winning illustrator Hans Willem. Oh, love his work. Whoever that is.
I don't know.
For those not familiar with Katie's Loving What Is, here are four questions she asks us when evaluating a thought. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? And then who would you be without the thought?
Right.
So loving what is. Now I have to look this up. I'm going into this. Do you find this interesting? Let me ask you this. I listened to Mel Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to Simon Sinek.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other thought leaders that I'll listen to. Almost everyone says the same thing. They just find a different way to package it.
Yep.
But we don't always, like, we don't get it. We don't get that when we hear it from one person, but we get it when we hear it from the other, even though they said the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And there are whole industries built around people saying the exact same thing because nobody will listen to just one person.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you should bring this up now, because that's a little bit what we were talking about too with Kendrick, right? People explaining it in a way that then it's something you can connect to, something that you have interest, like it's something that you relate to and something you can understand, right? Or what you were saying, Song Exploder or whatever that's called. And too, like for football, I just don't generally understand it and have found it to be very boring, except for if it's, you know, in movie form or TV show, because yeah. I follow the story, I know what's going on, and I'm not like just waiting for it.
Well, I love sports movies.
Yeah.
Way more than any sport. God, it's such a great medium for storytelling.
It really is. But a friend of mine who's a huge Eagles fan, so congratulations to their team, they actually explained it to me in such detail that I was like, oh, I could kind of see becoming a fan now. Like, I kind of was like dipping my
of the team or of football,
either, really. Like, oh. I kind of like started like dipping my toe into trying to be a fan, because it seems like it'd be wonderful to have that sense celebration. And, you know, I think I'd probably be like, my biggest way into being a football fan would probably be, well, of course, having a family member who was part of a team, because then you intrinsically care. Or else it would be if mine was the party, well, party house, because I wouldn't want it to be a wild party. But then I would be like, you know, the sort of like orange slice mom of like, I've decorated for Super Bowl Sunday,
yeah.
And it's a festivity and it's another.
Oh, absolutely. To celebrate, yeah.
100%. But, and you know, who knows? Maybe people tried to explain part of the sport to me before and I didn't understand it, because like, you kind of get one thing and then you get another thing and, you know, kind of the building process for understanding. But I didn't realize that the time still goes off when they're in the huddles. I just was like, oh, what a waste of time. They're always in the huddles. And they're like, they can call a timeout. And I'm like, yeah, but they're still just in the huddle. And they're like, no. But then I'm like, oh, okay. That strategy seems kind of interesting.
I think baseball movies are the most exciting of the sports movies. And I think baseball is the most boring of the sports.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
But yeah. Oh my God. I love a good baseball movie. Give Kevin Costner in a baseball movie.
Yeah, it was like Field of Dreams, right? Isn't that the, were there more?
Is there more than Field of Dreams with for Kevin baseball
Costner.
Movies?
No, with Kevin Costner. Obviously, they're a league of their own, but like, I don't.
Well, there's now I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but there's a Kevin Costner baseball film where it's called The Perfect Game, I think, where it takes place while he's pitching a perfect game.
Could there be like a Yellowstone baseball hybrid show? I would watch that.
Maybe. And I feel like there's a third one. But no, but I mean like. Yeah, I feel like there's a third. I feel like I'm blanking on it now. But I remember seeing The Natural when I was a kid starring Robert Redford. That was like the first baseball movie, I think. Uh-huh. No. That was the first adult one. But I remember seeing like The Kid in Left Field and all these different ones when I was a kid.
Sandlot was baseball, wasn't it?
Sandlot was baseball. Yeah, I don't know that that was my childhood.
I don't know.
That was Gretchen's childhood, I know. But
yeah.
It was a little late for me. I watched the Bad News Bears also. Yeah, Bad News Bears movies. So I've watched a lot of baseball movies. Yeah, love baseball movies. Baseball games, man. It takes.
I just want a hot dog now, though.
Like, and fried crickets?
No. Actually, I wouldn't. No, I don't really. I'd rather eat like fried, like chocolate-covered ants, probably.
Well, they don't serve those at the Mariners games, but they serve fried crickets.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, because I was like, fried crickets, that seems random. I don't know, just talking about baseball, it feels like I need to have like a hot dog with lots of mustard on it.
I would need to sell a house to afford that. So, concessions are not cheap.
Yeah. Well,
nowadays.
No.
It's kind of ridiculous, honestly, at a point. The Lumen Field is worse. At least the baseball field, at least they seem to, at least in Seattle. Oh my God. I've heard other places apparently are not as ludicrous as that. They try to keep the prices lower.
Yeah.
The baseball seems to have more options for like value meal type things. Though they seem to give like the worst hot dogs that are just sitting there.
Oh.
Ugh. So many are awful in the value menu you get, and you're like, what is this crap? You like almost like they cook it badly on purpose.
Yeah.
So that next time you go, you won't. Mm. You won't get it. You'll go, I'll just spend the extra $4 for a good one.
Yeah.
But a hot dog should never have two digits as a price. That's what gets me. Right?
Not at the stadium, but I could see a way in which a hot dog could have a two-digit price, but it wouldn't be a regular hot dog. It'd have to be like a gourmet hot dog, you know?
Yeah,
it'd have gourmet. To have, but yeah, and maybe it wouldn't even be made out of hot dog meat. It'd just be in the shape of a hot dog.
Well, okay, that yeah, but you can't. Yeah. Snow hot dog meat is that's inexpensive.
That's, well, yeah, you know, but if you put on like truffle or like all this other stuff, I mean, I think it tastes.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah, think, okay, but, know, yeah.
Like, I could see it being like fixed.
Lace
up
it in gold, like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but these four questions, have you been trying to use them?
Actually,
when you saw it, you were like intrigued by it. That you were like, we should talk about this.
You know, actually. I should probably print them out and put them someplace if I am ever having like a sort of anxious thought. I have done the thing of like logicking my way out of something that could be fear of like looking at all the other options. Like, no, it's not, doesn't have to be worst case scenario. Like it could be this, you know. So I do already have some practices in place, or, you know, putting in instead of a positive affirmation or something like that, instead of just focusing on the negative. But I think these four questions are probably going to be very important for me and potentially other people right now with some of the, you know, things we're seeing in the news.
And so apparently these four questions also, that book was like the children's version. And the main book, main thing that came off that, that these came from was a book she wrote called Loving What Is. Four questions that can change your life.
Interesting.
And she calls it the work. That's the process, is the work. You do the work. So it's interesting. I'm really right now into the Let Them theory.
Uh-huh.
I told you about this.
I watched Mel Robbins also. So.
Oh, you do? Oh, I just listened to the audiobook.
Yeah, I've told you that like a few different times. It's really
funny. What?
I probably shouldn't call you out on the podcast, but
wait, I've brought it up?
No, I probably shouldn't call you out on the podcast. I think like we've talked about Mel Robbins a few different times, and I don't know if I'm the first one that brought her up on here with like friendship or something, but no,
I probably brought her up.
You brought her up, but I brought her up. But who knows who did it first? Either way, we both are like Mel Robbins. I just saw Mel Robbins posted some. I don't know if she posted the other day or if it just so happened that it was in my feed the other day.
Yeah.
I saw her saying like the problem with making adults as a friend is most of the people she wants to be friends with also just want to be at home. And I was like, yes, Mel.
Yeah.
We would be friends. You get
That's
it.
That's true.
So because we talked about that like another episode ago.
The friends, yeah.
Thing. And I was like, yep. Ha ha.
She touches on the friendship thing too in the Let Them Theory book.
Yeah. So, will you talk more though about Let Them for our listeners?
Well, that could be a whole other episode, to be honest.
As you said, you're just, well, because it's Let Them, but I also saw what you posted. Then somebody was like, no, but you can't just let them. And you're like, well, the other part of it is let me.
Yeah. Do you know that part? Has she talked about that on her?
I don't remember, but
the problem with it is I don't know her history. Like I haven't looked up to see, I don't even know if this is her newest book or if it's her oldest book.
Yeah.
It just popped up as a suggested audiobook.
I think Let Them is her newest one.
Huh?
I think Let Them is her newest one. Or are you saying she also wrote Let Me?
No, there's just that she has other books too. And so I wasn't sure which is the newest one.
I think Let Them is the first.
But I just started listening to this one and was like, what? Yeah, I mean, Let Them, I'll say this. I have enough time to say that it's a book that has helped me in understanding and dealing with issues that cause anxiety with other people.
Interesting.
It's a very freeing kind of a book if you're into those kind of things.
Yeah,
right?
I want to hear more about this, but I know you said it's like another episode, because what I can't help thinking is I'm like, oh, it kind of also sounds like it'd be like a boundary thing. Like if you have your boundary strong, it's like whatever, let them.
So yes, I mean, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Like, and let me about your boundaries, and let them is like, hey, you're in or you're not, except for obviously certain things where we do have to do something where people are impacting us.
Yeah, there's safety things, like safety, and then there's things. There is love and how you deal with it and making decisions and stuff.
I want to hear
Do you have a favorite book that like a Let Them theory that you keep referencing in your life about a great speaker?
Just one book?
Or a big one. Okay, so this is my idea. The next time, our next episode, we should bring like what a theory, a way of life that has really affected us and what we're excited about talking about. Like,
my goodness, I got it. Okay.
Because I will encourage you to, it'll use this to encourage you and our listeners to go listen to this book or read it, I guess, if you're old school.
Interested.
And you could come up with one that you said that you think I should read. If I haven't already.
Okay, I should ask.
Or reread.
Oh, boy. You know? Oh, man.
So think about it. We got time.
Okay, so many. Okay, yeah.
We got time for that, but we're out of time for today.
That's true.
That's So time is in the future and time is also done. Time is relative. Time after time.
Time is I'm trying to think. All movies, there are so many of them.
Time is like a box of chocolates.
Time is like a baseball movie. I can't finish that thought.
They're always good if Kevin Costner's in it. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
We've
talked about that. I'm obsessed with time travel movies, but that we can talk about that another time.
Yeah, and about time too, like time tricks to help yourself. That's something I like doing too.
Ooh,
does that sound weird?
It's like another episode.
Yeah, so many
time tricks. Mm-hmm. How to deal with time blindness. There's a whole bunch of things about time.
Yeah, time episode. Okay.
We just need an episode that we have time to talk about all that.
And you guys, listeners, those comments, y'all, like,
they don't,
I love comments. I want to know if it's the next episode that they request and or their favorite necklace to wear around their neck when they're dissing their enemies.
Or a clock.
Right.
Like,
I was like thinking a rapper. Like a minor thing for them.
Yeah, no, I know. I got you.
Yeah.
And we're out. Blocking it out.